Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning, we are pleased to introduce our commencement speaker, Dr. Ryan Pack. Dr. Pack is the senior pastor of Riverland Hills Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. He's a native of Spartanburg, South Carolina, has served as pastor in churches in North Carolina and South Carolina. But here's the good part. He holds a doctorate of ministry degree in leadership from Columbia International University. Welcome home, Ryan. We're glad to have you. He has a Master of Divinity degree from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and a Bachelor of Science in Management from Clemson University. No booze, please. He has served as adjunct professor of homiletics and a member of the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Pack has also published his first book, Why Me? Finding Hope When Life Hurts, in 2011, and is a contributor in the Thomas Nelson 2016 Preacher Source Book. He continues to train pastors throughout the Tar Heel and Palmetto leadership networks. He's married to Heather and is the father of three daughters and one son. And I invited them to be a part of Ben Lippin in the future, so we need them here. Dr. Pack came about the same time I did. This July, we came over to CIU, and he came to his new church in Riverland. And it's a joy to meet him and to introduce him to you. Dr. Pack, come and give our commencement address.
It was exactly 10 years ago, 2007, where I sat right where you're sitting, excited and celebrating the transition in life and what God was doing and the new adventures that were ahead and taking that step of faith. I remember when I sat here, there's obviously celebration and success and fulfillment. There's excitement, but also on the other hand, there's moments of anxiety. There's moments of what's next. There's moments of what does God have in store for me around the next corner. The way we travel now has changed. I know I'm going back a little bit, but it used to be when we traveled in our automobiles from point A to point B, we would open up something called a map. Anybody remember a map, all right? We would open up something called a map, and that map, if we pulled up a map of the United States or a map of South Carolina, what we could do is we could see we're here and we're going here, and we could see every twist and every turn. We could see every road we needed to take. Well, today, things have changed. I get in my automobile today, and I put in one address, and this voice from the dash of my car tells me to turn in half a mile. It tells me to turn, and if I miss something, she says recalculating, right? You've heard that before, that she tells me I need to get back on track. It's this voice. I don't know the final destination. I can't see it laid out completely before me, but I trust that voice, that it's going to tell me a half a mile in advance. It's going to tell me a few hundred yards in advance where I need to turn. Friends, I want to tell you, the faith journey is more like a GPS than it is a map. We don't know exactly what God has in store. We don't know exactly what turn may be next. We don't know exactly in this exciting journey that you're on right now. You don't know exactly what God's going to do with you next, but you trust His voice that He's going to tell you at just the right time what's around the corner and what's next. In the book of Joshua, we have the account in chapter 3 of the Israelites. After all of their wandering, they are now ready to cross into the promised land. And Joshua gives some very specific instructions for what the Israelites were to do as they prepared for this exciting step, this journey. And I wanted to today just to encourage you and to instruct you in some steps of faith that God is going to give you today, that God gives us through His Word in Joshua chapter 3. I want to read a portion of this in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 3. At the end of 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Now, for this morning, I want to give us four instructions for our steps of faith. The first instruction is this: go after God. Focus on Him. Follow Him. I love the way that the King James Version and the NSB words this. It says, set out from your place and go after it. Well, what were the instructions to go after? They were to go after the Ark of the Covenant that represented the power and the presence of Almighty God. And Joshua's instructions was to watch. Keep your eyes on God, because you cannot go to the next step if you don't focus and keep your eyes on Almighty God. And we can easily get distracted in our faith and in our life. Have you ever been instructed to go to a store? My wife before has instructed me to stop by Walmart or a grocery store on the way home, and she tells me, Ryan, you need to pick up one item. One item. And so I go in the store for the one item, and when I get in the store, there are other shiny items and very tasty items that look good to me. Matter of fact, Costco has a market on this. You go into Costco for maybe the one item you were supposed to get, and what do they have scattered throughout the store but taste testers, right? And so then I'm convinced, because whatever I just tasted so good, I'm convinced at that moment I'm supposed to purchase that. And there's been moments I've gone home with a bags full of items, and Heather will say, did you get the one item? And guess what I did? I forgot. Why did I forget? Because there were so many other items that looked tasteful, that looked shiny, that looked appealing, and so I wanted those items. And friends, I'm fearful in our faith if we don't keep our eyes on God, that what'll happen is we'll say, ah, that item looks tasty. Ah, that direction looks good. I think I'll follow that instead of following God. So the clear instructions that Joshua gave to the people is he said, keep your eyes on the Lord and go after God. I love that phrase, go after it. But secondly, the second instruction is to go willingly. This is the issue of surrender. Lord, I want to go willingly with you. I love the wording in the text. The wording says in verse 3, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of your Lord, move out, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. I love that, as soon as you see it. When is the right time to obey the Lord? Now. When's the right time to trust Him? The minute He reveals something to us. To obey Him and to trust Him and to set out. And don't miss the order of the text in this passage. The order of the text is first step out in verse 3. Then in verse 4, the text says, to keep a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits in length, do not come near it in order that you will know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. I love the honesty of Scripture. Faith requires us to step out into a direction we have not gone before. But the proper order is step out first, then secondly, you know which way you should go. It's faith. It's what God's asking us to do and what God calls us to do. We must be prepared to adjust our lives. And you know the story of the Israelites. What did they always want to do? They wanted to go back to safer, known conditions. Oh, we'd be much happier back with the food that we had in slavery. We'd be much happier in the conditions there than being out here in this wild and crazy wilderness that you've called us out to. And so their desire was always to go back to the comfort of safety. I can relate to that. But the call of faith is, I'm going to step out and I'm going to follow you even though I've never gone this way before. You find yourself at a crossroads right now. And I'm graduating. I've never gone this way before. So I'm having to trust God in that step. The third instruction is to go prepared. So he says, go after it, being watchful. He says, go willingly, which is the issue of surrender. But he says in verse 5 to go prepared. Now listen to these instructions in verse 5. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So the instruction was, consecrate yourselves. Get your life right with the Lord. I love the way Zodiates put it. He says the word consecrate means things that are set aside and reserved exclusively for God. Now think about that. Is your family consecrated completely to the Lord? Is your marriage consecrated completely to the Lord? Is it dedicated? Is it reserved? Is it set aside exclusively for the Lord? Would you say that your finances are set aside exclusively for the Lord? Is your purpose behind your education for you, or is it set aside exclusively for the Lord? Lord, I want to consecrate my life for you. I want to be right before you. And what fascinates me about this instruction that he gives is notice the type of preparation he's giving. He's giving heart preparation. I mean, he could have easily given military preparations. A lot of people that have got to move forward, he could have easily given logistical preparations. But you know the preparation he gave? Get your heart right. I love that CIU is founded on not just head, but founded on the heart. What's the point of ministry if you have a bunch of head knowledge but don't have a heart to obey God and to follow God and to pursue God and to say, I want to be exclusively set aside, Lord, for you and for you alone. And I am convinced in ministry that we are over-planned and under-prepared. That we have plans. I've been at my church now for 5 months. I have plans. But what matters the most are not plans that I come up with. What matters the most is that me as a leader and that our church, we are prepared to follow God. Consecrate yourselves before the Lord and be prepared and be ready. I would encourage you with some advice I was given at a graduation as you step out into your future. Keep a tender heart towards God. And be ready to have a thick skin. And I want to warn you of something. It is very easy to get a calloused, thick heart and thin skin. And I want to encourage you, keep a tender heart towards the Lord, but have a thick hide as you step forward. Go prepared. That's the holiness. And the last instruction is to go expecting, to go expecting. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. How can Joshua make such a claim? Because he is standing on the promises of God. He is standing on what God had already promised the Israelites, and he is saying, look, you get your heart ready, you get your life ready, because what's going to happen is tomorrow, God is going to do amazing things among you as you step out to trust him and to follow him. And an amazing detail we must note in the instructions that were given to the priest in verse 8. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Now, if I'm a Levitical priest listening to this, these are some very awkward instructions. Remember, the Jordan is at flood stage during this time, and they are being instructed to stand in flooded water, get in the water. He didn't say stand on dry land. He didn't say stand at a safe distance. He said, because we're going to trust God and follow God with all of our life, we are trusting God to do what he says he's going to do, and we're going to take a step of faith and stand in the water. And I love the instructions to stand still in the waters. I'm fidgety in my life, and I can be fidgety in my faith. And God asks us to stand still and to trust him in that step of faith that many of you find yourselves in right now. I had the privilege years ago of living in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And of course, right above us in Hendersonville, North Carolina was the Blue Ridge Parkway. And one of the things we love to do, many of you have done it, is to take a trip on the Blue Ridge Parkway. But I want to tell you something. The Blue Ridge Parkway is designed radically different from our interstate system. Our interstate system is designed to be one long straight, the quickest way you can get there. Matter of fact, we can go get on I-20 just down the road here, and you can travel for days. You can travel for hours on I-20. And guess what you're going to find on I-20? Long, straight roads. But the Blue Ridge Parkway is designed different. The Blue Ridge Parkway is designed around the contours of the mountains. It's designed with some bridges that hang off of the side of the mountains. It's designed very close to some rock faces and some cliffs. And every time you travel it, you go around curves. And what you do on the Blue Ridge Parkway is you stop at the scenic overlooks to take in the trip. And that's radically different from my trip on the interstate where I'm just trying to get there, right? I believe faith is more like the Blue Ridge Parkway. We never know what's around the next corner. But when you trust God, can I tell you something you're going to find around the next corner? It's going to be beautiful. Because every corner you go around on the Blue Ridge Parkway, even if it's a hairpin curve, even if there's rocks right around that next corner, can I tell you what you're going to find? You're going to find beauty in the journey. And I want to challenge you, students. I want to challenge you, graduates, to enjoy the journey of faith and to trust God, to consecrate yourself. All the days of your life, watch him. And when he says step out, you step out. Obey him, follow him, and expect him to do the wonders that he promised us he's going to do. Thank you and congratulations.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.